This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I love it. Actually feel like preaching the same sermon as this morning, but I won't do that because some of you are repeating attending again. So unfortunately, you have to listen to me a second time if I have to do that. So I didn't prepare a different sermon for tonight. But before you become too comfortable, because I hate religion, I'm going to put you on the spot now, okay? Just to shake a little bit of that religion off, so we don't go into church mode, okay? Just tell your person next to you, don't go into church mode now, because now we put our serious face on now, and we look forward, and we have to listen to the sermon now. So get rid of that church mode, okay? You're not called to be in church mode, you're called to be real, amen? I say, there's somebody there at the back that listens. Okay. If I say amen, huh? Amen. It means you listen. Come on. The power of agreement. I'm going to teach you through it. We're going to get to that eventually. Okay. It's a conversation. We're speaking truth. Okay. So I'm going to put you in a spot, like I said. What I want us to do, and I'm talking friendships tonight. But before we go into that, I'm going to ask you to walk over to somebody in this audience. You have to be quickly now in thinking. Maybe you don't know everybody, but you can go, if the Holy Spirit, let me put it sure. You can go to any person that you know good enough and tell that person, what is the one quality, just one, that you appreciate about that person? Okay. Think for a moment. Okay, it can't be your lover. It can't be Duan. It can't be you too. Okay, I'm going to give you a minute, and then you can walk across to any person. I know, guys, you can walk over to a guy and tell him, listen, I appreciate your friendship for X, Y, and Z reasons. That's nothing wrong with that, okay? Amen. I'll put a full stop there. Otherwise, some of the men will make a love declaration now, huh? That's your opportunity. Throw it in there, man. It's just holy relationships, huh? I'm talking on I'm not actually speaking on relationship tonight. Maybe we do a relationship series on another night. But let me just quickly tell you, there's the best place you can find your husband or your wife. And I want to amen on that one. Huh? It's the best place. That's why I found my wife in church. Fishing here. And let me tell you my story and then we can carry on. I don't know why I'm going that way. Anyway. One specific Sunday, you know, listen to this. You know, when you spot, that's the one. Huh? You know, I'm not talking, you know, this is she. Anyway, long story short is, so we were there, and I was ushering, standing in front of the church, and I became aware of this girl at the back here next to me, and I'm like, whoa, why do I feel like that? And I was just so dedicated to the Lord. I was just so sold out to the Lord at that stage, you know. They start rebuking Satan. What are you doing here, Satan? This beautiful girl, I just want to focus on my relationship with God. I just don't want to be distracted. And, you're praying against all of that. And I remember one Sunday I was standing in the back there, and I just sense, you know, the Lord saying, release, it's me. Release, let go of that feeling. It's just me. And I remember one day I was praying. I was kneeling in the front here while we were worshiping. And as I was kneeling there, she came and she knelt next to me. And then the Lord said to you, this is your wife. Hey? Anyway, so I won't tell you how I caught her as well. You know, I positioned myself very strategically where I sat as well. All of that, you know, that trick. But the main thing is, this is a safe place to get to know one another. Amen? Because our relationships within this place are supposed to be safe and we can be honest with one another. Now, quickly want to share a few thoughts around our relationships, more about our friendships tonight. And hopefully you appreciate that friend next to you that is a real friend. I want to ask you tonight, are you a real friend, huh? I hope so. Yeah, there's 2, 4, 6 friends that's supposed to sit there, Saki. Okay. If there's an empty seat next to you, that means there's a friend supposed to sit next to you. Are we going to pray over that over the end of this service? He's on his own. Saki is lonely. Yeah. You got your Bibles here? You got your cell phones here? Any form of Bible, take it out. And then we're going to read from 1 Samuel 23. If you don't have one, turn to a Christian. Sit next to a Christian. And if there's not a Christian next door, next to you, bad luck for you. Okay, then you'll have to look on the screen. Okay. But can I say, please bring that with you? That's your weapon. That's the Word of God. That's how we speak to us, whether it's on your phone, whether it's... Make it a good habit to bring that with you. 1 Samuel 23, and you know what? Before I go into the scripture tonight, the first time, and when we look at the relationship in scripture, probably is to between the two brothers, Cain and Abel. We know the story that Cain killed his brother Abel. And then God came to Cain and says, Cain, listen, where's your brother? His blood is crying out. And then Cain replied by saying, how am I supposed to know? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? Moet ek hom oppas? Is dit nou my verantwoordelikheid? I want you to think about that. Am I my brother's keeper tonight? And your brother might not be here tonight. But am I my brother's keeper tonight? And we think about relationships tonight, or friendships as such. I can't think of a more appropriate example in Scripture than David and Jonathan. Amen. David and Jonathan. Let's read some. 1 Samuel 23, verse 13. So David and his men, about 600 of them, now left Keilah and began roaming the countryside. Word soon reached Saul that David escaped, so he didn't go to Keilah after all. David now stayed in the strongholds of the wilderness and in the hill country. Sorry, in the hill. Now I lost my place. Can you believe it? It happens to me. In the hill country of Ziph. Saul hunted day after day, but God didn't let Saul find him. One day near Horish, David received the news that Saul was on the way to Ziph to search for him and kill him. Jonathan went to find David, encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. Don't be afraid, Jonathan reassured him. My father will never find you. You are going to be the king of Israel, and I'll be next to you, as my father Saul is well aware. So the two of them renewed this solemn pact before the Lord. Then Jonathan returned home while David stayed at Horish. Okay, just four things I want to share quickly tonight on our friendships. The friend next to you, the friend that you are to somebody else tonight. Asking ourselves this question, am I a real friend? Because you know, what's a real friend? Is it somebody that's just always there that you can phone him? Is it somebody that is always friendly? Is it somebody that always listens? I think we'll get different answers tonight of what is a real friend. And it's maybe, you know, it's all valid things, but we really have to look at Scripture, what Scripture says tonight about our friendships, and test that for a moment. And the first point I'd like to make, if I read Scripture correctly, in verse 16 says, Jonathan went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. To stay strong in his faith in God. Encourage him to stay strong in his faith in God. Here's the thing. If you have a true friend, or you are a true friend tonight, you are the one who strengthens your friend in God. Just as simple. If you are not strengthening others in God, if you're not challenging them to become stronger in God, if you're not intentional in your friendships with other people, that's just a waste. Sorry to say. From a godly perspective, from a kingdom perspective tonight, okay? We can have friends. The world have a lot of friends. But when I talk tonight to you about friendship, it's through the glasses of Scripture, through what God says about friendship. And tonight, I'm challenging you, asking you tonight, are you intentionally creating space for the Holy Spirit to move in your friendships? Where we wait upon, I mean, we're doing the series now, Contagious Christianity. I've seen some of those sessions that we're talking about, you know, using those gaps just to filter that conversation. Who of us, can I just see, who of us sitting here tonight has got friends that are not serving the Lord? Come on, all of us. Or maybe you've spiritualized and you've Christianized all your friends, so you must tell us how. Tell the rest how you do that. But I'm great and grateful that you do have friends that are not serving the Lord tonight, because that means that you've got a purpose in that relationship. That God has called you to be intentional in that relationship. You should be, the Bible talks about that we should be like a serpent. You know what a serpent does? He just sits there. Have you ever watched a snake, serpent? He says, be as sly, Jesus said. Jesus said this. Not whoever. Jesus said, be as sly as a serpent and as meek as a dove. In other words, what does the serpent do? He's just waiting there for the prey. It's just studying him. And the tongue goes, and you don't have to do that in your friendship. Okay. When you sit and have a coffee, imagine that with your friend. But you study that person. You know what that person likes. You know, you get to know that person better and better and better, so that you know there's an opportunity. You're waiting for opportunity. You're praying. You pray and you pray and say, God, give me that opportunity. Because like Richard just shared early on. And we wait for that moment because I'm intentional where I'm going with this relationship. I don't just want the friendship. I want you with Christ. I want to sell something to you. If you're here tonight and you are truly loving Jesus, you're supposed to be a good seller, a goeie verkoopsman van Jesus. Want dit is al wat ons is op aarde, of net in Jesus te verkoop hier op aarde aan mense. Amen. Jy mag maar amen sê. Unless you disagree with me. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says this, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Think about that. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. That's supposed to be in our relationships like that. If you're not sharpening somebody else, you're blunt. You're blunt. I almost want to say useless. Don't want to say that in church. But scripture actually talks about the salt that can't be used. And it's sometimes necessary that we get back to that place that God can use us. And that God, maybe I've come to that place that I'm not intentional in my relationships anymore. That God can use us purposefully in our relationships. Sometimes, you know, we get so used to one another. And it's great, we get to know one another, but we're not intentional anymore, and we're not living lives where we surrendered unto the Holy Spirit in that relationship. So what happens is, we have our certain convictions, we know the truth, but we just are not effective in that relationship. Because why? We have a fear of man. We're afraid what would happen if I say something, if I do something now. And can I just say, always move in love. Don't do it out of a place of judgment. Don't try to sort that person out. If you, amen. Because sometimes we want to sort them out. It's not your job to sort them out. It's our job to love them. But in love, listen here, love is not always nice. If you're married, you will know. You can't say them. There's some people that can say. What I mean with that is not, it's just sometimes as we get to know one another, we have to work through certain things. If you're in a relationship for a long time, you would know love is not always nice. We've got this picture of love is nice. No, love is sometimes saying the true stuff, the stuff that we need to hear. Not the stuff that you want to hear, but the stuff that we need to hear. See, sometimes we're so afraid of that person, of the response of that person, or we've become so comfortable with one another that there's no place for God in that relationship. And it's necessary that we redeem that again. Say, God, we want you in that relationship. I'm going to be intentionally, purposefully infiltrating, allowing, or creating space, waiting for the Holy Spirit to create that space. And the other reason if our friendships, if there's no purpose, is because we might be in the wrong friendship. And the only reason why I say that is when that person pulls you down. I'm not saying abandon that person, but make sure that you hear from God first. Sometimes we want to fetch that person, take them out of the world, but you're so weak, he's pulling you down rather than you pulling him up. And you will drown rather than him getting him out of the water. So make sure that you hear God. Scripture says in Proverbs 27, verse 5, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. I love the scripture. An open rebuke is better than hidden love. But then he goes on in verse 6 and he says this, faithful, listen to this, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. In other words, sometimes we need to hear the things what we need to hear from the friends in our lives. The people that we know that really care for us, that really love us, that will not leave us the same, that will not allow us to go down this route. So they will rather tell us the truth, risking the relationship because they love us too much. And that's the kind of friend God wants us to be for one another. That love one another, that keep each other's back there, stand there for one another, each other's the brother's keeper, in other words, that says, listen, I haven't seen you at church, I haven't seen you at cell group, I haven't seen you, where are you? How are you? Is everything fine? Can I pray for you? Is there something you're struggling with? Why are you not there? And then, no, just leave me. No, then that's the time when I scratch. Exactly. Leave me. No, now I'm going to scratch. I want to get into your face because I love you. That's the type of conversations we should have. Huh? Not this religious, stay away, leave me. No, I love you. I care for you. I want you to be here. I want you to be in the presence of God. I'm talking about when we have the relational strength, that person. I'm not talking about somebody that's just checking us out, okay? Be careful there, because you will scare them away. I'm talking about when we have friendships, and you know that that friend is not at the right place, that he's tasted the goodness of God, that he's seen God moving, that you knew that he was in the presence of God, and then he slips away. It's our responsibility to be that person's keeper, to go and find him, to go and get him and say, listen, there's something better for you. But do it in love. I want to say that, I emphasize it, do it in love. If you do it in love, that person will sense it. We can be critical and judgmental, and it wouldn't get far with it. 1 Samuel 23, verse 17, he said to them, do not fear, for the hands of Saul, my father, shall not find you. This is Jonathan speaking to David here. And a true friend tonight, my friend, will not impose fear in you, but rather faith. If we surround ourselves with those people that lift us up, you know, sometimes we're just so around people. If you've been around people, that's so draining. They're always negative. And everything, they always see the dark spot against the bright white wall. They tell you, oh, yeah, I see that, you know, but you spend an hour or half a day with them, you feel, I just want to run into the desert and just hide away. Huh? I don't know. Have you had such people in your life? It's just me. I hope you're not that person to somebody else. Huh? But we're supposed to surround us. Listen, you're supposed to surround yourself with people that are better than you in certain areas. Why? Because that rubs off on you. Certain areas of our life, spiritually as well, it's important that we surround ourselves with those people so that we almost have a benchmark, so that it encourages us. That's the thing about mutual faith. That's the thing about corporate coming together, sitting together, spending time with people that love God, that are passionate about God, because what's happening is it affects you unknowingly, just being in their presence. You don't have to do anything, just sit and be in their presence. People that talk about God, that can't keep quiet about their love and their affection towards God, just be around them. It's affectionate and contagious. And I want to be that kind of person. I don't know about you, huh? Amen. That stirs on our friends to higher heights. Henry Ford. You know who's Henry Ford? The guy that made the first fort. Okay, that's very obvious. Okay. Somebody had one day a lunch with him. They asked him, "Who's your best?" He asked the guy that he was having a lunch with. He said, "Who's your best friend?" And the guy started writing on the napkin as he was having lunch, and he started thinking about a few names. And Henry Ford stopped him. He said, "No, let me tell you who's your best friend." He didn't know all his friends. He said, "Your best friend is that person who brings out the best in you." Surround yourself with those kinds of people around yourself all the time that brings out the best in you. If we have friendships that brings forth all the of this world, because all of us still have flesh. That's the fleshly. You think about that afterwards. I didn't really want to do that. Where did that come from? And from time to time, I'm surprised by all the what still comes out there. Huh? There's just a moment needed in the wrong crowd, under the wrong pressure, wrong peer pressure, and come out. The flesh. But when you have the right people around you, in the right timing, the right environment, it brings forth something beautiful. The more you spend time with those kind of people, hey, come on, the spiritual man grows. And the flesh dies. Amen. You're very quiet, huh? Come on. Stop off and I pinned up. When 1 Samuel 23, verse 17 says, "You shall be king over Israel," Jonathan speaks here, "and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that." Okay? Jy sal koning wees oor Israel. En my vader weet dit. En ek sal niks. Ek sal langs jy wees. Wat nou die Engels Afrikaans die mekaar. True friends, my friend, my brother, my sister tonight, are unselfish. Okay. Jonathan was the son of Saul. He could have been the king, but God had a different plan. God wanted David to be the king. Now, if this relationship wasn't secure, if Jonathan didn't know who he was in God, he could have felt jealous. Why am I not the king? Why am I not supposed to be? You know when you becoming mature, when there's some form of maturity in your life, is when you can rejoice over somebody else's victory or what God is giving them without becoming jealous because you wanted the same. Sometimes we want the same thing. Nothing wrong with that. And then God just got the divine, I call it divine prerogative, to decide the where, the what, the when, the why, and the what, the what and the how and the whatever in our lives. That's divine prerogative. God, whatever, you can decide. I had a sermon once, two, three years ago, talking about divine prerogative. We take that out of God's hand. Now I'll decide the when. I'll decide the how. I'll decide the what and the wherever. And then God can't use us anymore. But it's necessary that we give back to God the divine prerogative over our lives. Say, God, the whatever, the whenever, the whoever. And God, if you bless my friend, oh, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And I'm going to pray that you would bless that friend of mine even more so that she would prosper in you, Lord. And God, I thank you for what you're doing in that relationship. I thank you, Father, for what you're busy doing, using it mightily, even though I desire it. That's the kind of relationship or friend we ought to be tonight. About a year ago, you know, God challenged me in a relationship. Friendship relationship sounds a bit dodgy tonight. We have relationships with a lot of people, but we had a friendship relationship. And the Lord challenged me on confronting this person about certain things that I was seeing that was really alarming in terms of where this person was going. You know, and it wasn't an easy decision, surely. I was praying and praying and said, God, if I say this, it will mean probably that I will lose this relationship. And I was challenged with that. And I want to say, make sure that you do this in prayer. Don't do this just in the flesh, because it's not easy. I was challenged. And Lord asked me, do you love that person more? Or do you love that relationship more? Or is it more important for you to see that that person is not losing the salvation? I said, God, okay, I'll put my relationship on the altar. If that means I lose the relationship, then that's it. You know what happened? I lost the relationship. But I know that I had to speak the truth. And here's the thing, only lately, and I'm still praying till this day, only lately, God is busy restoring that. But sometimes it takes a while, you know, for the truth to sink in sometimes. And we shouldn't stop praying for that person. It's not, no, now I'll write you off. You know what, finish with you. Let's take the next friendship. Because friendships and relationships are not cheap. Listen to me tonight. Fight for relationship always. Remember these words. Fight for the relationship. Fight for that relationship of your friend, because it's precious. God is fighting for your relationship. He's fighting for that relationship with you. Whenever we run away, there's a Father, there's a voice, there's a Holy Spirit crying out, come back, come back. I want to spend time with you. If we can only be as patient like God with our friends and our people around us, imagine how we can turn the world around. Huh? Jesus was probably the one that portrayed this to us the most. Not just giving something, but gave himself. Unselfish, totally giving himself, pouring himself out. There's a story in the World War I of two soldiers, friends. One was shot and he was busy dying. And he was lying next to enemy territory. And the other one was close to his foxhole, those areas where they were hiding from the enemy and shooting from there. And he was far away from the other, from his friend. And then he decided to get up and to run towards his friend that was busy crying and screaming from pain. And his sergeant said, lie down, you're going to get yourself killed. You're crazy. He's anyway going to die. And this guy just, you know, jumped up, ran across the field between the enemy fire, got shot, you know, picked up his friend. He came back, and as he was coming back, busy dying himself, fatally or wounded, his friend already dead. The sergeant said this, see, I told you, what a waste, what a waste. He was already busy dying, and now you dying as well. And then this boy said this. He said, no, it wasn't a waste. See, when I got there, he was still alive. And he said this to me, I knew you would come. That's the type of friend God wants us to be. That would hang in there, and keep on praying, and keep on praying, and keep on praying, and keep on praying, and eventually, there's a breakthrough. That's the kind of things that God wants to do continuously, to run across. Have you seen that movie? What's that movie that that boy that gets up to that, Hacksaw Ridge? Yes, you go. What a beautiful movie that's talking about this whole thing. It's portraying actually the story about actually in many ways about just saving one more, getting up that enemy territory into that place, just saving one more, Jesus, for you. Amen. That's the things that exciting and gets me excited. When we around our friendships, when we are giving ourselves, when we allow the Holy Spirit just to fill us and then we empty ourselves into them for the sake of this kingdom. Last point, 1 Samuel 18 verse 4 says this, and Jonathan took off the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, even to his sword and his bow and his belt. In other words, Jonathan gave something of himself. You know, when you look at scripture, always when a prince or a king gave you something, it was considered a special mark of confidence or affection towards that person. We see that in scripture as well. When Joab was promising his warrior's belt to those person or to that person that were willing to kill Absalom. But it's talking about something, giving something of themselves. And if we want to be true friends tonight, you'll have to give. It will cost you something. You cannot sit on the side expecting that you will have real friendships if you're not willing to give. 2 years ago, one of our elders, it was his birthday, and I asked him, what do you want for your birthday this year? You know what he said? He said he's just asked Jesus one thing, is that his friend, this friend of him, would meet Jesus this year. God, give me that one gift this year. Let him meet Jesus. That should be our desire at all times. God, I've got those three. They're not yet ticked. You know, you should have a list in your mind, to the back of your mind. I'm not done with you. I've got you on my prayer list. You can run away, but I've got you on my prayer list. I'll be back. Terminator, huh? We'll see that movie. Come on. We teach what we know, but we impart who we are tonight. You teach what you know. You can say a lot of things around people, but really, we impart only who we are. When we spend time with people, you can tell them all the right stuff, but they see right through you. They know whether you are true. They can see right through whether your relationship with Christ is real. And if we are just real around people and really reflecting Christ and our love and our passion, people pick that up. You know, there's something in that that draws people into that place of conviction sometimes. You don't have even to preach sometimes. It's just the Holy Spirit ministering through our lives. And all of us, guys, all of us, it's got a redemptive purpose, supposed to have a redemptive purpose in our relationship. Judas sold his redemptive purpose for 30 pieces of silver. Sometimes God places us in relationships, and there's a price on that redemptive purpose. It just depends wherever your weakness is. At certain spots, we are willing to walk away from our redemptive purpose or certain prices. Let me put it that way. What's your price this night? You sometimes struggle to redeem that relationship and just say, God, I have to do this. I don't want a price. I don't want to sell out. I don't want to be sold out for 30 pieces of silver. I want to challenge you tonight that maybe you've become cold, callous, insensitive, unintentional in that relationship, that we become intentional again, that you realize that God has placed you intentionally with a purpose and a focus in the middle of that relationship, friendship, wherever, at work, at home, stay together, live together. I don't know, that doesn't sound good in church, but I didn't say man and woman. Wherever you are, with somebody, are you using that redemptive purpose? Jesus Christ is probably the greatest example in scripture that lived. And I end with a scripture that says, you know, when Jesus comes in John 15, he's speaking to his disciples after growing, of walking with them for such a long time, 3 years, growing from a slave or from just knowing Jesus to a place of intimate friendship with Jesus. Jesus said this, you know, and it's possible tonight for all of us to grow into God, in our relationship with God, into a true friendship. That you're not just a son or just a servant, but that God would call you a friend. Because, listen, Abram was called a friend of God. Why? Because I believe Abram walked so intimately with God that God had to say, hey, man, actually, I call you my friend. I just don't call you. You're not just another anyone. You're my friend. And we see that when God came to visit Abram and Sarah to tell them about their son. And then as he walks away, he says, oh, by the way, I'm gonna wipe out Sodom and Gomorrah, but it's maybe good I tell Abram about that. Because God couldn't keep a secret from Abram. We want to get to that place in our relationship with God. We need to walk to that, pursue that. Say, God, I want to grow. So I want to be a friend of you. John 15, verse 15, and I end with the scripture. When Jesus said, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. How beautiful is that? When Jesus says that to his disciples. Jesus' time is running out. He needs to get on the cloud. He needs to take his plane going back to the Father. And he says to his disciples, hey guys, this was good, the time I had with you. I don't longer call you slaves, so don't call you anything else. I call you friends. And I just want to let you know, I've told you everything that you need to know. Just use that. You know, we've got the advantage of the scripture. We've got everything. Let's just use that for the sake of our relationships. Amen. Amen. Here's the thing I want us to do. I'm not going to pray for you. We're going to pray for our friends tonight. So I want you to take out your notebook, your cell phone. Maybe you have done that already. Then I want to say good and faithful servant. Well done. If you haven't done that, it's fine. There's still mercy tonight for you. I want us to think about three friends tonight. Three vrienden. Okay. Tongue twisters here. Three friends. Maybe you have more. Put them on the list. Maybe you've got five. That you know that the Holy Spirit is lying upon your heart right now. That you know that you need to pray for. That you say, God, I trust you this year for their salvation. I trust you, God, to do me. There's nothing, people, listen to me, there's nothing more special than praying to God for that person and trusting God and praying and being obedient to the Holy Spirit. And in one morning, you make another invitation after you've been turned down 10 times or you had this opportunity when the Holy Spirit allows you to slip it in there and that person responds and that person gets into the presence of God and bang, it all happens. It's all worth it. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.